This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning. And now we're in the markets hour with the KLCI opening. And speaking of the markets right now, let's take a look at Bursa Malaysia. And that's your cue, Chuang.
Loving the bell. The KLCI is at 1,588 points, up by 2% on the day, actually. On a year-to-date basis, almost flat. So one of the better performing ones in the region. In fact, probably the best, with Kospi being the second. No surprises, because the glove makers have really been driving the index higher. And it's again the same story this morning. Top glove, 4.5% higher to 1,708 after Friday's profit-taking. Careplus at 168, Supermax 924, and of course Hartaliga at 1258. The Edge Weekly ran their cover story on the glove makers and how basically the major owners there is pretty much ringgit billionaires, essentially. Now, some of the banks are in place. CIMB's at 408, Maybank is at 818, and some recovery in PNB stocks like UMW at 322. And of course, Rubberex also still very much in play at 375. The oil prices right now for Brent is at $41.25 a barrel.
Mixing up your commodities there.
I am indeed. That's gold. And West Texas American oil is at $39 a barrel. Gold, of course, is at $1,700 an ounce.
Not a barrel there?
Not a barrel.
And right now we're taking a look at international markets. Earlier this morning, we saw the US markets closing in the green all across the board there. The Dow up 1.7%, the S&P up 1.2%, and the NASDAQ reaching a record high at 9,924 points, up 1.1%. And for more on international markets, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Wealth, Private Wealth Management. Joe, US markets rallied last night with the NASDAQ at an all-time high. Well, what's the reason for this optimism?
The reason for the optimism is in and around the fiscal and monetary stimulus package that's backstopping the economy. Obviously, the employment numbers on Friday, albeit some glitches in the numbers, but showing clearly that America's getting back to work. And then reopening of 50 states, slowly but surely, we're starting to see the reopening of the economy, not just in the United States, but in China, Malaysia, or really around the world, including Europe. So that's the optimism in and around the markets.
How much legs does this rally have?
Well, I mean, we're not back. I mean, NASDAQ's at an all-time high, but I mean, I think we're going to see a consolidation. That wouldn't worry me in, say, the next couple of months until we get more confirmation on a vaccination treatments. That's going to be important down the road, second wave. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was consolidation. But we're looking in 2021 at global synchronized expansion. You got to keep in mind that the fiscal response, along with the central banks, is unprecedented. It's around 25% of global GDP. We've never seen anything like this in 75, 80 years. So this is what's going to carry us forward over the next, say, 12, 18 months, which gives the market rally more upside than downside.
Now, of course, the surprise last week, Joe, was U.S. May non-farm payrolls data, which showed a rise of 2.5 million instead of a predicted decline of 7.5 million. Every economist on the street got this wrong. How did that happen, and how should we read the set of numbers?
Well, the numbers aren't perfect, right? There'll be some adjustments. We always have these month-to-month revisions, but it just goes to show you that as you start to reopen the economy, people are starting to fly more, travel more, go out to dinner. It's not going to happen all at once, but you know, we went from really a very sharp downturn in April. May, we got a little bit more strength, and June's going to be even better. So I would say the trough, I mean, this will be the shortest U.S. recession in history. It may not even be a recession, you know, given the fact how quickly we're snapping back. So I go back to the policy response and the fact that a lot of unemployed people have the wherewithal to keep spending because they have these $600 extra. And so the employment doesn't surprise me, because remember, in January, we had 7 million jobs unfilled. Now we're starting to backfill the jobs that we lost in March, April.
And now, Joe, where do you expect the Fed to stand on interest rates when they meet this Wednesday? Do you have a specific inflation or unemployment target? Do they have any targets there to reach?
No, I think the Fed will kind of stand pat, say they've done their job, be data dependent, look at inflation, be vigilant, about some of these price increases. But I mean, Jay Powell has done a very good job with the Fed positioning the economy for a second half rebound. And maybe we get one more fiscal stimulus package out of Congress. We don't need to pull that out right away. State and local governments, we're still seeing a lot of stress and strain there with unemployment, lack of services, cuts in services. But I think Jay Powell can kind of stand pat and just say he's vigilant, he's watching it very carefully, and he's ready. The Fed will be there when we need to be.
Over to China. China's trade surplus hits a record high in May. Do you expect China's trading position to improve?
It will. I mean, you know, China's exporting more than it's importing. The trade balance is improving. But I think the big story in China is more about consumption-led recovery. That's going to be key. You know, exports as a percent of GDP in China have structurally come down over the last 10, 20 years. That's a good thing when it comes to rebalancing of global demand. So the bigger issue, and this is important, car sales, automobile sales in China were up in the last reading year over year. That's very positive because it shows you that as Chinese consumers out back out their spend, they'll do their part to help drive global growth.
And that was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategy at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. And I think maybe featuring a transformer towards the end of that segment there. But Joe really highlighting that he's talking about how maybe they may not even reach a recession at this point. But I think on a technical basis, they may that may happen in any case.
Well, in America, the official arbiter of whether the Americans are in a recession or not did actually confirm it. The National Bureau of Economic Research has issued a statement saying that February of this year was the end of the expansion that began in June 2009. And that, of course, was an expansion that lasted 128 months, actually, the longest in the history of U.S. business cycles dating back to 1854. So according to Joe, this could be the shortest recession known to humankind where America's concerned. And 2021 could be, a time when the entire world recovers. And should you be positioning stocks? I mean, the amount of money that the Fed is printing is, 25% of global GDP. Where that puts America's reserve status, dollar's reserve status, in terms of its vulnerability in the future is, of course, open to question as a result of all this money printing.
Right. And coming closer to home, Petronas has announced that Tan Sri Wan Zulkifli Wan Arifin will retire as CEO of Petronas on June 30th. After serving the state oil and gas company for 37 years, he will then assume the position of chairman of Malaysia Airlines Berhad, effective July 1st. However, earlier news reports did suggest that he had resigned, but now moving on to Malaysia Airlines.
Yes, so I think the question is, some people do ask, is this a demotion for Tan Sri Wan Zulkifli? But I guess as a, just looking back at his track record, I think one of the things that he really brought to Petronas was that he's an engineer by training, right? And I think this was the first time after Tan Sri Hasan Merican where you have an engineer who's leading the company. So now we're back to the situation where there's the CFO, Tengku Muhammad Taufik, Tengku Aziz, who will be taking over. And he's an accountant, a chartered accountant. And I guess all eyes will be on him on how he's going to help Petronas navigate difficult waters, and also how is he going to be able to push back from the government if they start to ask for more dividends?
Yeah, and I see Chuang is pulling up some Petronas news on the Bloomberg. Is there anything interesting that you've seen there, Chuang?
Well, I mean, of course, Bloomberg ran a huge story. Jan Tultra, the reporter there, ran a five screen story on this transition. Quite momentous, especially at a time when oil prices are where they are and the future being so uncertain, and of course, CapEx being so uncertain. Even more so when the Malaysia's fiscal status is taken into position and Petronas' responsibilities in terms of its dividend and its petroleum tax is concerned. So, I mean, the new guy has all to play for in terms of coming into a role as a baptism of fire.
Right, and especially on the back of, I think, of over the weekend, Finance Minister Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul Tengku Abdulaziz said that Malaysia will nearly double its fiscal deficit this year while keeping in the option open of raising the public debt ceiling. So obviously, more looking at how we can raise revenue over the next year or so. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the impact of the Panjana economic package on the market. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.